ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः यस्या प्रसदाज्ञोऽपि साध्य सर्वज्ञतां व्रजत् शशि चैतन्यदेव मे भगवान् सम्प्रसीदतु मयि श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड बी फुली मर्सीफुल अन्टु मी बाय हिज ग्रेस ए कम्प्लीट फूल कैन गेट ऑल नॉलेज इन वन मोमेंट जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णस मर्सी कम्स थ्रू कृष्णस डिवोटीज फॉर एग्जांपल परीक्षित महाराज seems to be in a very unfortunate situation. Can we say he got Krishna's mercy? He is about 60-something years old, so that's in the beginning of Kali Yuga, that's considered very young. And he is the emperor of the world by Krishna's decision and desire. And now he's cursed, without deserving it, he's cursed to die in 7 days. So is it fortunate or unfortunate? Right. So the proof that this is actually fortunate is that he got the association of all wonderful teachers in the universe. All of them came to be in his association. So that's the proof that this is mercy. It may not look like mercy, but devotee association is the test whether we have received Krishna's mercy or not. So if you just look around, you can see that definitely you have received a lot of Krishna's mercy. You know, 100 times all the devotees here. So that's a proof that you have a lot of mercy. If I eat my own medicine, that obviously I have received a lot of mercy sitting in front of you, sitting in front of Maharaj, sitting in front of so many wonderful senior and experienced devotees. So this is definitely a lot of mercy. You know, there are quotes, Bhaktisandarbha and Narada Pancha Ratra. Narada Pancha Ratra says that any person initiated in a Vishnu mantra, by his glance, purifies you from sins from 100 births. Right? So that's why giving classes is so good, because you're sitting in the site. And Bhaktisandarbha has a quote from Skanda Purana where it says that a servant of devotees, not even initiated, but a servant of devotees, by his glance, removes all obstacles of people and purifies people and helps people come to devotional service. Hare Krishna. Mercy. We all certainly desire mercy. And now there should be a but, right? I should say but. Correct? But. I will not disappoint you. I will say but. we hear from the Damodar Lila, our dear Satchidananda Maharaj has been describing Damodara Lila at length, and we know that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions two fingers that are always missing in the this lila to bind Krishna. So what are the two fingers? One finger is our wonderful, our favorite, desired mercy. Yes, mercy. That's certainly very desirable. But the other finger, the second finger is full endeavor, parishrama. Yes, Mother Yashoda was sweating. Her hair became loose, and flowers started falling down from her hair. Of course, we hear that the flowers tried to stop her from, you know, they conspired with Krishna to impede her progress so that she doesn't bind Krishna. But she made a full effort, parishrama, and therefore, Krishna's Karuna Shakti or Kripa Shakti, the queen, the main Shakti of Krishna, said to Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti, wish fulfilling potency, step aside, move aside. Yes? Because Krishna's Satya Sankalpa didn't let Mother Yashoda bind him. Because Krishna thought, I have a very tight schedule today. I have to go steal butter. I have to go break pots. I have to go, wreak havoc with my friends. So I don't have time to stand here with my with this mortar being bound, right? So Satya Sankalpa, said, yes, sir. Okay, so no time. Okay, change the space curvature, the properties of space, and this rope never reaches, two fingers too short. But when Kripa Shakti saw how Mother Yashoda makes full effort, she said to Satya Sankalpa Shakti, step aside. Now, what is our effort that we need to make to attract Krishna's mercy? So certainly there are many things that we can do to attract Krishna's mercy. And at different stages, we will have different instructions. At different stages of our progress, there will be different instructions of what is most important for me and what is my next step, and also what is doable for me, what I can do. Because certainly we can hear many things, but how many things we will understand. So some things it takes, in fact, years and decades to be able to grasp. Because bhakti happens, in fact, only in the heart. You cannot perform bhakti, you cannot even perform any yoga without some work in the core of your heart or at the core of your consciousness. It's not an external affair. And it seems very simple, just take the beads and chant Hare Krishna, whatever mantra you chant, Krishna knows, you mean Hare Krishna, he's very kind, he can understand, and that's it, right? Right, yes. But Bahu Janma Kori Yadi Shavana Kirtana Tabutana Paya Krishna Premadana. Krishna Pada Premadana. We can chant many, many lives and still not attain. Chant and hear and still not obtain the treasure of love to Krishna. So Bhagavatam, therefore, offers us wonderful guidance. Bhagavatam offers us wonderful guidance. Bhagavatam has all the answers. And what's even more important, Bhagavatam has all the questions. Sometimes, answer is okay, but do we have the question to get it? To get the answer, you need the key. So the key is the question. That's why sometimes we need to spend decades to get the correct question. Answers are here. Do we have the question to understand it? In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami says, Munaya sadhu prishtaham. O sages, you have asked me very nice questions. Bhavabdir lokamangalam. Yat krita krishna samprashno yayatma suprasidati. Why these questions are so nice? Because they give the best blessing to all the living entities, to all the people, lokamangalam, because they are connected to Krishna, these questions, and yayatma suprasidati, and they bring suprasidati, complete satisfaction to the soul. Complete satisfaction to the soul. We are all hungry. Are you hungry? We are all hungry, but our hunger is spiritual, it's not material. We are hungry and thirsty. But we need spiritual food and spiritual nourishment to satisfy this hunger. Nothing else can satisfy us. So Suda Goswami says this can Bhagavatam can give you complete satisfaction. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments there that even the question itself bring you full, complete, total satisfaction. Because if you have the question, you will get the answer. Right? So, I have somehow or other given the title to this short presentation, the first three Bhagavad Dharmas. It was somewhat tongue in a cheek. It was a little bit tricky title because practice Bhagavad Dharma. That's our school, Bhagavad Dharma. However, if you actually check what the Bhagavatam says, about Bhagavad Dharma, you will see that Bhagavad Dharma is used in plural. Primarily, most places in the Bhagavatam, it's Bhagavatam Dharman. So there are many Bhagavad Dharmas. And in Canto 11, there's a beautiful description of Bhagavad Dharmas. It's, in fact, synonymous with bhakti. And we all know that, what do we need? Chant, hear, dance, feast, and be happy. Correct? We all know that's very correct and very nice and very beautiful. What else would you say is the essence of Bhagavad Dharma? Serve. Oh yes, certainly. Yes, thank you. Serve. Yes, very good. What else? Hearing. Yes. What else? Association. Yes. What else? Huh? Cannot hear? Yes, accept the spiritual master. Yes, very good. Yes. It's not how it starts, actually. All correct. But these things are given at the end, except the spiritual master that's given before, in the beginning. The first three things the Bhagavatam gives, describing Bhagavad Dharma, surprisingly, is mercy, friendship, and respect. These are the first three Bhagavad Dharmas. There is 30 or 33, depending how you count, Bhagavad Dharmas described in Bhagavatam Canto, 11, verse 17 of chapter 3. Yeah, you can practice your skills of code recognition, and font substitution in your mind. It's a useful skill in life, you know. It's very useful. Tomorrow I will change. I will give you a new font to practice. So these are quite famous verses. So there are nine Yogendras. Krishna's father Vasudev asks Narada Muni, "What is the best way to become fearless?" And then Narada Muni says, so wonderful, you are asking such nice questions. And there were similar questions asked by King Nimi to the nine Yugendras. And then we have nine questions. What is the highest good? And then what is Maya? And then how Maya was described, it's on the universal scale. It was described that first earth is disappearing, then water evaporates and burns, and then air is wreaking havoc, and then universal destruction, and then the universe is dissolved. That's what Maya is. It actually struck me for the first time that it happens also in my body, right? First the knees give out, the knees start creaking and giving you pain. Some of you are smiling, yes. That's you have a lot in common. As Burijan Prabhu a couple of days ago said that I used to love to run. I could run for hours. Yeah, that's one of the reasons for your middle-age depression, right? You cannot run anymore. The knees don't let you run for hours as you like to, as you used to. So that's earth being destroyed. You know, bones and cartilages and all the, you know, it's bones. That's earth. And then water. Our hydraulics becomes faulty. The muscles, you know, after the age of 30, every year your muscle mass decreases by 1 to 3%. So if you are not putting in extra endeavor into exercising, and by the age of 50 or 60, your muscle mass will decrease to just a shadow of what you used to have. So I remember Devamrita Maharaj was doing exercise with some rubber bands, and he said, I just noticed that in a plane I cannot put my carry-on into the overhead compartment. So that's water being destroyed. And then our nerves are shot, you know, that's air. So there's a parallel on individual level. There's a universal destruction. You know, what do we care about the universal destruction if it happens in my body? If I'm going to pieces. And I remember as Burijan Prabhu once said that he heard that after 50 you will have some pain in your body. He thought, well, that's for people who don't, you know, exercise, who don't take care, proper care. And then, you know, he said that 50 came, and he said, oh, that was correct. Sometimes it comes early. You know, we hit 40, and 40 hits back. With vengeance. So therefore, a very good and natural question that Nimi asks, you know, this joke about what does it mean to be sick? What's a disease? So, and what's health? Yeah, the definition of health is that every day, as you get up, or by the end of the day, you have some pain in a different spot in your body. That's health. If it pains in a different place every day, you're healthy. If it's in the same place day after day, oh, then that's, you should take care and go check yourself. That's disease. So therefore, a very natural question that's asked by King Nimi is how to, actually it's very beautiful. He says, how this dustaram, this difficult to conquer Maya, can be crossed, taranti, anja, easily by lazy, dull, foolish materialists. Yeah? By, Yeah, how can it be easily crossed by foolish materialists? I love this question. It gives me hope. And no matter if, even, I mean, it's a wonderful question, isn't it? I think it's a brilliant question. Even if I'm foolish, even if I'm materialistic, and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says lazy, therefore, and still there is a method to cross this terrible, destructive, all-devouring Maya easily, anja. That's I think it's a wonderful news. So what's the method? And we have 30 Bhagavad Dharmas described. 30 Bhagavad Dharmas described. And as you all mentioned, certainly there is Shravanam and Kirtanam there, and all the core practices of bhakti, they are there. And what follows is a very famous sequence by Prabuddha. Okay, what's happening? Do we have? Can it go on? Yes. So Prabuddha says that, yes, we all dukkha hatyai, we all endeavor to remove suffering, sukhaya cha, we all endeavor to become happy, whatever we understand happiness to be. And as they grow older, their material discomfort increases. Hare Krishna. All right. So we try to find pleasure in mithuni, sexual relationships. Of course, mithuni can mean also some company in general, but primarily that's some kind of sexual relationships. But there is the problem is that no matter what we do, we still suffer. So in this this planet on Earth, we see that Prabhupada says even wealth, even if you do get wealth, it's a perpetual source of distress. Oh yeah, in India, right? We could have laughed about it, 3 weeks ago. Yeah, ha ha, wealth is source of distress. Ha ha ha. Sure, definitely, of course. Now, will you laugh so easily? Oh my God, I have 2,000 in 500 rupee notes. What to do? Nobody takes them. Ah, Prabhu, get these things. You have money, you cannot spend it. Yeah, you have. It's ridiculous. So all kinds of, and now you cannot be sure. You know, what if tomorrow they cancel the 2,000 rupee notes? You know. You can think, ha ha ha, I have exchanged all my notes, ha ha ha. What if they cancel them tomorrow? What if there is, I mean, there's always some anxiety connected to this. So some people try to go to heavenly planets, but even in heavenly planets, still there is some problem. Wealth, you have power, you have enemies, enemy kings who disturb you. In heaven, there is rivalry with equals. For example, you like some beautiful apsara, or you like some beautiful gandharva, and they like somebody else. Hare Krishna. You're in heaven, huh? Beautiful, yes. Yeah. So, tasmad. It's a very famous verse. Tasmat, therefore, because of all of this, tasmat gurum prapadyata jigyasu shreya uttamam. Therefore, one must approach a guru and ask him about this supreme good, about something that's not destructible, about the supreme good. Shabde parachanishnatam brahmani upasamasram. And then three qualifications of this guru. He must be learned. He must be devoted to the supreme. Shabde parachanishnatam. And brahmani upasamasram. He must be able to pacify, to find some peace, taking shelter in the supreme Lord, in the supreme spirit. Upashama. Shama. Means he's able to find peace. For us, it's Prabhupada made it very specific. What does it mean to find peace? It means you are happy to follow the four regulative principles in devotional service. It's not such a big deal for you because you have higher taste. So, all right, so that's you go to guru, but you know, going to guru, that's not the end. That's the beginning. Yeah? And everybody goes to guru. Even materialists, they have to go to a guru. What to speak about jnanis? Everybody has to go to a guru. What do you learn from guru? And then tatra, coming to guru, bhagavatam dharman. You learn from him the bhagavata dharmas. Shikshet gurvatma daivata, accepting guru as your lord and master. Amayaya, without duplicity. Nuvrittaya, yais tushyat atmatma do harihi. What bhagavat dharmas? What methods of devotional service? Methods which satisfy the Lord, satisfy Hari, and satisfy him in such a way that atmatmado, that he is happy to give you himself. That he is happy to give you himself. That's the definition of Bhagavad Dharma, the process of Bhagavad Dharma. That it satisfies the Lord. It satisfies the Lord, and being satisfied, he gives you himself. He gives you himself. That's what we need to learn from Guru. Now, it will. Then the next one, it starts describing. Yes, and now it actually begins. Verse 23, it begins with the description of the first three steps of Bhagavad Dharma. What it actually is, because that was general description of symptoms or characteristics of this Bhagavad Dharma, that it satisfies the Lord. The Lord is happy to give you himself. You learn it from a guru. What are the three characteristics? Objective characteristics, observable, measurable characteristics, not characteristics that are imagined or fantasized or guessed, or you have some tickling sensation in the heart. Oh, when I look at his smile, I feel it tickles. No, it's observable. And then what do you learn? And now we have 30 methods. I finally found some word that I like as a translation of this expression, dharma. Sarva dharman parityajya. In this context, I would like to see this word as techniques or methods. Dharma is a method, a technique. Actually, it says upayas. In some commentaries, it says upaya. It's a technique, a method, a remedy. A remedy, technique. So Krishna says, give up all the other techniques and just take the supreme technique or method or path of surrendering to me in bhakti. And now we have three... how did we go all the way there? 23. Up. Yep, thank you. So, sarvato manaso sangam. You can see it says ado in the beginning. Ado in the beginning. So that's this. That's the beginning. So what's the beginning? You are detached. Sarvato manaso asangam. You are detached inside. Not outside, but inside. It doesn't mean that you quit your job outside. Means you quit your job inside, not outside. Because we love to quit the job outside, all right, but still get the paycheck or whatever perks. No, Krishna says you keep the job, you go to you work, but quit it inside. Don't hanker for any reward, or don't hanker to serve the couch. Or whatever is the desired comfort. And then finally we have the first three steps. Dayam maitrim prashrayam cha bhuteshvadha yathochitam. Yatha uchitam. As is appropriate, properly, deal with, treat everybody with mercy, friendship and respect. mercy, friendship, and respect. So these are the first three Bhagavad Dharmas. The first three Bhagavad Dharmas. Yes, please chant. We must chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Exactly. Yes, this mantra. And or variations thereof. I'm joking. This is just that's certainly there. However, if we chant and feel dry, if we chant and feel miserable, if we chant and feel that this nectar of immortal Chintamani name in our mouth, on the tip of our tongue, tastes like sawdust or sand. Does it happen to you that you chant tastes like you know sawdust when you saw wood, and then this sawdust falls down and you chew it? How much juice you will get from this? Of course, if it tastes like sawdust, you are fortunate. Means you at least pay attention what's in your mouth. You know, it's, what am I? This is the holy name. Okay. I don't feel it. Because we can we can also do the Facebook japa or TV or whatever. Doesn't even taste like sawdust. Just some background something. So sawdust is already a step up, is already next level up. So if you feel that not the advertised amount of bliss is obtained, it may be recommended to actually consult the manual. This, that if you tried everything, if you did everything you could, and the thing doesn't work, okay, read the manual. Maybe. If you tried to fix it, you opened, you disassembled and reassembled, you experimented and it still doesn't work, okay, read the manual. So this is the manual. We have the manual. We have the full manual. And in the manual, we discover that actually the manual says, Bhagavad says, that Adal, in the beginning, you be merciful. In the beginning, you be friendly. In the beginning, you be respectful. That's how you begin. You do this, by no means, never stop chanting, never decrease your chanting. But, this is the same what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. He says, Ihajani durdavam idrisham ihajani nanuraga. I have no taste. I am so unfortunate. And then, what does he say? He says, Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. He gives four vitamins, four medicines to solve the problem, to cross the ocean of anartas, to cross the desert of anartas, and arrive at the nishta level, which can actually give you ruchi, can give you taste. And you can see that this is a very standard recommendation, respect. You can see that this is the opposite of aparad. You know that offenses block our progress. So what's the opposite of offenses? Offense means disrespect. That's the meaning, that's the essence of offenses. Disrespect. So how to remove all the offenses with one stroke? Respect. With one stroke, respect. In the end of Canto 11, Krishna says, this is the best sadhana. What is the best sadhana that Krishna recommends? Fall down offering obeisances to everybody. Even to dogs, donkeys, and cows. Okay, cows we can take, right? Okay, cows, that says in the Shastra. But dogs and donkeys? All right, even dogs, it's okay, dogs. But donkeys? Why should we offer obeisances to donkeys? But Krishna says, without feeling embarrassed in front of our friends, and he says it will very quickly cure our heart from three forms of envy and disrespect and false ego: rivalry with equals, abuse of juniors, and envy to the seniors. If we try to always offer obeisance to everybody, it will very quickly remove these forms of the false ego. In the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I remember my bhakta leader generously shared all kinds of horror stories from history of ISKCON, which was entertaining but very disturbing. And I think we have one seminar from Ravindra Swarup Prabhu he gave somewhere in Germany, History of ISKCON, or the Horror History of ISKCON, or something like this. So he mentioned that, you know, there is this and this devotee. He chants 64 rounds every day. He sleeps only about 4 hours a day. And he preaches like anything. He is able to convert people by the hundred. He can convert hundreds of people, make them devotees. Actually, I know many devotees who became devotees by his preaching. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Such a wonderful, powerful, advanced devotee. But then he says, but, there's always a but. And he says, but you don't want to be in the same building with him. You don't, not even in the same room, you don't to be in the same building, in a general vicinity, you know, not even in the neighborhood with this person. So I was in Krishna consciousness for a few months, and that gave me a lot of food for thought. You can see, I remember it still today, about three decades later, that you can chant, you know, 64 rounds. You can be very austere. You can do a lot of service, converting hundreds of devotees. That's the best service, right? What better service can there be? That's the essence of our movement, right? Making devotees. But nobody wants to go near that person. I mean, other devotees don't want to go near that person. Would you like to be such a servant? Do you think that Krishna would? I mean, if no devotees want to go near such a person, do you think Krishna wants to go near such a person? Probably he will, but very, very cautiously, right? He'll like lurking from, you know, like being very, very careful not to step on the toes of this person, not to become the object of dissatisfaction of this person. And of course, if somebody is very austere and if somebody is doing a lot of service, irritation, being irritable, razdraljivim, is a very natural side effect of austerity and a lot of work. It's a very natural side effect. That will be there. It will be there, no doubt. It's natural. I'm not saying it's unnatural. It's natural. But is it a desirable result? Mahabharata says that if you do austerity and you become irritable, if you do austerity and you are dissatisfied, if you do austerity and you become proud, I mean, if you're able to sleep 4 hours only every night for 10 years, is it a remarkable achievement? It is, isn't it? That's definitely not a mean feat. It's a wonderful thing, right? Can do more service. There's obvious, legitimate grounds to be proud, isn't it? Definitely. But if we do get proud, we do austerity, we do get proud, or we do austerity, we become angry, this was not an austerity. It's God knows what, but it's anything except austerity. It's not considered to be austerity. It's something. some strange thing. Of course, in bhakti, you will always get some benefit. Whatever, even faulty, that's the very rare characteristic of bhakti. Apichet suduracharo. You know, even very faulty execution of bhakti still gives you some very special benefit. Unique, transcendental benefit. But it may take thousands of years, thousands of lifetimes. Do you want to approach love of Krishna within the span of some years or within the span of thousands of lifetimes? What's your preference? Madhuris and Prabhus. So, therefore, Bhagavatam, you can see it begins by saying mercy, friendship, and respect. Obviously, this is a very classic triad of three attitudes. In fact, you can see this is your practice. This is what a Madhyam Bhakta is supposed to practice. Do you want to be a devotee? Right? Yes, you want to be a devotee. So, to be a devotee, what level you have to be? Kanishta Bhakta, Madhyam Bhakta, or Uttam Bhakta to be a devotee? So, Chaitanya Charitamrita says that being a Kanishta Bhakta, in fact, it's not really a devotee. It's Bhakta Praya. Bhakta Praya. It's like, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt. It's generous, like giving us a chance to associate. But actually a devotee is someone who practices the four practices of a Madhyam Bhakta. What are the four practices of Madhyam Bhakta? Yah Karoti means it's a practice, doesn't fall from the sky, doesn't appear under your pillow overnight. You know, like you go to bed and then in the morning you wake up. I remember this in West Ukraine. These are beautiful memories from my childhood. We have this Saint Nicholas, day. Then you wake up in the morning, and under your pillow, you find some toys and nice pens and other beautiful presents and tangerines. It was the only time it was available in the Soviet Union. Until today, it has a beautiful fairy tale like magical smell to me. So you wake up and there is, wow, Saint Nicholas, you know, Santa Claus has brought some gifts. Wonderful. So does it happen that you end your day by finishing, I finished my rounds, Hare Krishna, and you go to sleep, and then in the morning, what is this? I am merciful. I'm merciful today, finally. Bhagavatam says, yah karoti, you do it. It means a practice. It means some effort is there. That's the effort. That's our effort to attract Krishna. To attract Krishna. Mercy, friendship. So, yeah, Madhyam Bhakta. Mercy towards whom? Yes, if somebody, you see that this person is not a demon, somebody is not a demon, and they are not behaving as they should. They act improperly. Do you notice some people like this sometimes? Okay, maybe they are not a demon, but who does like this? Why do they do this? It's terrible. Why do? So what should be the proper attitude? We feel towards them mercy. It means, yeah, if they don't act properly, means they need mercy. You need to help them. Hare Krishna. Not be angry and shout. It's screaming at somebody is not the only form of mercy. You can give. And prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha. If somebody is a demon, is envious, then can we scream at them? Should we hate them? They are demons. No, Madhyam Bhakta practices, develops, makes effort to treat hateful, inimical demons with Upeksha, indifference, neutrality. Don't hate the hater. Right? But the biggest challenge, I would say, is Maitri. Making friends. So, can I ask you to look inside your heart, think about your life, and find something that you feel embarrassed about, something that you feel shy or even ashamed of? Can you find some act, some feeling, some characteristic that you have that you feel actually even ashamed or embarrassed? Okay. I don't know if everybody can find this. I think you can find, because if you are a sadhaka, there may be one or two anartas there, or at least half anarta, right? Some shadow of past anartas. And if you are a paramahamsa, then you naturally feel very humble, right? And you, for the benefit of ordinary souls like us, you can find something, right? So I think you can find, everybody can find something. And now, can you search your life and see, is there one or two people among devotees to whom you can reveal it? Is there somebody to whom you can admit, oh, I have done this crazy thing, oh, I'm doing that, oh, I have this desire, oh, I feel envy towards this person, oh, I felt... Can is there somebody you can reveal it to? You can share this with? Does everybody have somebody? So if you have somebody like this, you are extremely lucky. You're extremely lucky. Your progress in devotional life has the necessary protection and support. Yadunandan Maharaj, or Yadunandan Maharaj from Radhadesh, when he was doing his master's, his thesis was a very interesting subject. the fall down in ISKCON. And he found that he actually found many ex-sannyasis who whom he interviewed, and he found one characteristic or one phenomenon common to all the cases of fall down, which was isolation. I actually even spoke with one a devotee who was a sannyasi and is no longer a sannyasi, and about couple years after he stepped down from his sannyas, and he said that I feel much. He didn't marry, actually, just something happened, and he said, you know, I feel so much more connection, and I feel people understand me so much better now. So he didn't do much wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. One problem was isolation. Isolation. He was isolated. It was isolation. So, dear devotees, dear madris, dear prabhus, dear brothers and sisters, and spiritual uncles and aunties. okay, not two uncles and aunties, no. It's just, yeah, uncles and aunties, you know what to do. But brothers and sisters, okay, brothers and sisters. you need friends in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, if you want to be saved, you need friends. You need some. Who is a friend? A friend is somebody who can accept you as you are, and with whom, and he knows this thing you thought about. Who can hear about that thing from you and still talk about Krishna with you and still sit next to you during prasadam, right? And take a sweet from you or a salty, whatever. Yes? And still talk about Krishna with you. Then you are safe. Right? And how to have friends? So again, depending on the stage, on your level, because there is a stage in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, like a few months to a few years after we start, when we go through hell, when instead of struggling with our ego, we struggle with our mind. There's no necessity to fight the mind. We need to fight the ego. But in the beginning, we don't know what is what, and we struggle with the mind. A fight you cannot win. You cannot win a fight with the mind. The mind is much more tricky. And by fighting, that's how you strengthen the anartas. That's how you make the anartas stronger. So that's a very, very painful time. And it's very difficult to do rational things at this time, actually. But otherwise, it's very important to make friends. And we may think that friends happen from outside, but they say that how to have friends? You need a special vitamin to have friends. You need a vitamin. The vitamin is called B1. Have you heard of this vitamin? B1, yeah? So to have friends, B1. B1. Right? It's difficult to translate. B1. If you are helpful to somebody, if you are friendly to somebody, if you serve somebody, if you appreciate somebody, if you respect somebody, will they be friendly to you? A very good chance they will be, isn't it? If you appreciate, first of all, you accept that they are more or less equal to you, which is not a simple thing to do sometimes. Who, equal to me? What, how is it? No. Okay, senior, right. He has a danda, right? I don't. Or junior, obviously, you know, only one row of tulsis, you know, it's obviously junior, right? Very easy. But equal? No, you know. And then find an equal and then be a friend. Doesn't mean you need to have 1,000 friends. I mean, we should be friendly to everybody, but bosom friends, close friends, at least we need one or two. So, you can see this is the beginning of Bhagavad Dharma. This is a very important environment for bhakti to grow, to remove obstacles to growth of bhakti. And we will discuss more tomorrow, but friendship is the extremely important requirement, friendship in Krishna consciousness. And I want to conclude today's session. I want to give you a very difficult homework, a very challenging homework. What's the challenging homework till tomorrow? You think about somebody who is more or less equal. Okay? Can you do this? I'm joking, sorry. And think about, you need to appreciate devotees. How do you appreciate devotees? What's the best way to appreciate devotees? Please guess what is the highest value for your friend, for this devotee. What do they value the most? Not what do they have already, but what do they want to have? Is it openness? Is it mercy? Is it honesty, integrity? Is it knowledge? Is it service? What is the value? What is one of the virtues, principles, or values this person wants to have? So try to guess what is their deep heart's desire. And if you can, if they are here, you can ask them, I think this is your highest aspiration. Is this your aspiration? Of course, all of us aspire for Krishna and bhakti. However, Krishna has unlimited qualities. And even Sanatana Goswami says that Krishna has one quality that's appreciated only by you. So for every jiva, Krishna has a unique quality that's fully appreciated only by this jiva. That's 10:47. So only Krishna has unlimited qualities, and he has one quality for each one of us that only we can appreciate. So even in one Krishna, there are different qualities. So you can also think which quality attracts this person in Krishna. And you can try to guess. Which lila would be most attractive to your friend? So value, Krishna's quality, and lila. Try to guess. And if you can ask them here, you ask. If not, write them a letter, call them, and say, I think that you are attracted to Krishna lifting Govardhan. And your most attractive, the quality you're most attracted to in Krishna is Krishna's giving protection to his devotees and making friends with cowherd boys. And your highest value is knowledge, for example. Can we do this? Trying to put to practice Krishna's or Bhagavatam's recommendation about Bhagavad Dharma, how to approach Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Bhagavad Dharma's ki jai. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Thank you, thank you. I am a young boy. I need such appreciation and encouragement.